Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
When it comes to car launches, I got to say it's the last junket left in the media landscape. You know, travel writers used to get sent all over the world, and now they don't.
No, not so much.
You know, people used to get sent gadgets to review, now they don't.
Not so much. However, you've found yourself in, well, in the Yarra Valley in Victoria, in Tasmania, testing new cars and having a whale of a time.
I know.
And all I can say is, make the most of it, Buster. You've earned it.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
Yeah, look, we started, well, I think it was January 15, I think, this year, Pete. And we, of course, from that moment on, were on the hunt for Car of the Year for 2017.
Yes, we were.
I think in those first couple of shows, we kind of looked at each other and went, you know, I don't know. I don't reckon 2017 is going to be much. It might be a bit of a fizzer.
On the horizon?
Yeah, we're going to struggle to come up with a car of the year.
And then suddenly they came thick and fast and good.
An onslaught and prices from $300,000 to, you know, $15,000. Everything in between.
Correct.
SUVs, hatchbacks, sedans, sports cars, you know. It was just a real minefield when it came to being able to sort of put your finger on what could be definitively called 2017's Car of the Year. Now, there's been a few, number crunching kind of long nights going on, both in Melbourne and Sydney. We've come up with the answer, and I think it's probably time to reveal 2017's Car of the Year, and I'll leave that on to you, Mr. Peter Hitchener.
The 2017 Behind the Wheel Car of the Year is the Hyundai i30 range.
Yay!
Crowd goes wild.
I know a man who's going to be very excited about that. It is the Senior Marketing Director of Hyundai Australia, the one and only Bill Thomas. Bill, congratulations, mate.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I'm very, very thrilled. That's a fantastic honour, and I'm very, very grateful and really, really excited about that. That's fantastic news.
Well, here's the thing. The car looks amazing. It drives wonderfully well. It gives people an opportunity to have the very best that you can get from about $20,950. You can't really go past that.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly good car, and obviously I'm paid to say that, but I'm not the only one who said it. We're very lucky to have been able to launch such a good car. It's very refined for the money. It looks good, and as you say, it's got a good range of abilities. We're very proud of the car's performance, and the customers seem to be echoing that quite well. So it's a fantastic thing. It's a very good car for the money, certainly.
Yeah, well, $29,950 is where we start, and I was just wondering, Bill, these cars take sort of a bit of there's a long lead up time until I'm sure you know what you see in your office as a sketch to the time you kind of see it actually out on the road. How long was that process, and were you kind of the opinion when you saw it at first, did you kind of know or kind of expect to hear kind of phone calls with awards like this?
Yeah, the design sort of gets locked in at least 2.5 to 3 years out. So some of the guys here in product planning and engineering had seen it quite early. And I remember when the first hot weather test car came here about 2 years ago. It was one of the best moments when we all snuck it downstairs into a quiet corner of the garage and ripped all the camouflage off it just to have a look at it. And yeah, it was at that point we realised that the looks were really quite subtle in a way, quite reserved, but also very well put together and nicely designed. So it's won some awards for its design as well, which is very flattering. But it's not overstated. It's not really, you know, bold or incredibly sort of futuristic or anything like that. It's just a really solid piece of design. It does look the part on the road. So
yes.
we've been sort of aware of the car and inputting information into the process, because we're the biggest single i30 market in the world here in Australia.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, we had some input into the car, you know, over 4 years ago now.
I think you were very wise to go for to opt for the European understatement and elegance rather than flourishes and bells and whistles and, you know, sort of things that sort of date very quickly.
Yeah, that's right. And the senior design, one of the senior design guys, Thomas Burkle, I remember him talking to me about it just after I'd seen the car undisguised in our garage, actually. I rang him and had a chat with him about it. And he said, think about it in terms of proportion and shape rather than line. So quite a nose forward proportion, quite a long nose and short tail look, and more about the overall shape of the car rather than slashing lines. So, yeah, yes. quite a nice subtle design.
It's beautiful. And who would have thought all those years ago, do you remember when Alan Bond brought the car to Australia, Hyundai, the brand here?
I was in year seven and I had the job with a Hyundai dealer. I used to go down there every Saturday morning and wash them and used to think, he's going to buy one of these. But anyway,
and here they are, car of the year, and so much has, they've transformed the brand. It's a major success story.
Actually 1986 when the first cars arrived here, and initially they were only sold in Western Australia, and then it grew from there. But the original Excel, it was pretty reliable. There's a good thing to say about it. It was reliable.
Yes, it was. And that's not a bad place to start either. Yeah, reliability. Yeah.
There's plenty of them around, and now you see Excels in racing series around the country. You get grids of 30 or 40 of these things. There's plenty of spare parts around. Apparently they go forever. But yeah, it's certainly changed a lot over the last, 30 years. And we're very lucky that the product development side of the company is exceptional. I deal with all sorts of different aspects of the company from here in Australia. And I find the engineers the absolute sharpest and most responsive people I deal with. Their English is invariably brilliant. And the engineers who created this car are particularly clever blokes. And it's always a pleasure to deal with the engineers. It doesn't happen to me much, but when I get to talk to or to email the engineering department back in Korea, they're always very sharp.
Yeah. Look, I suppose the great thing about today's Hyundai i30 that's taken out the Car of the Year award, the ethos is probably still the same as it was back there in 1986. A brilliant value proposition with just jam-packed full of features that sort of essentially undercuts everybody else, but now you've got the quality of the best in class.
Yeah, that's true, and I think our aim is for the reliability side of things not to change. Obviously, we back it up with a 5-year warranty. I think people get that, you wouldn't back your car up with a 5-year warranty unless you're pretty confident. Otherwise, it would be too expensive, but it's interesting actually. Only today we're announcing a new entry to the i30 lineup. In fact, we haven't quite announced this yet. So you're getting a scoop on it, but it's actually called the i30 Go, and right. that will come in under the Active. So the starting price for that in manual form will be $19,990.
Oh, good work!
So, sensational. The 5-year warranty and 5-year cap price servicing, all that stuff.
Yep, still 5-year warranty, still all the cap price servicing, and it's a slightly more limited spec than the Active, so you lose your inbuilt satellite navigation, but you still get an 8-inch screen and various other goodies. So, yeah, we're thinking that if we can introduce the car to at a slightly lower price point, we can maybe get more people into the cars. So, yeah, that's the news for today. But generally speaking, the car is going very well, and people see the value in it, even in the most expensive SR premium model.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to the even more expensive N version. I know that's not very far away. And that, really, from what I've read and from a few mates I've spoken to who have driven it overseas, they say it's an absolute crack of something to take on the Golf GTI. A couple of states of tune, I believe, 184 kilowatts, and then something over, just a smidge over 200 on the way?
202, that's right, yeah, with 378 newton metres of torque. We're still weighing up whether to bring in the lesser powered version. We probably will, but it's not decided yet. We're thinking that if we can get the price right on the really powerful car, then that's the car that most Aussies will gravitate to anyway. We're one of the biggest hot hatch markets in the world. We're certainly, if you look at a company like Renault with Renault Sport, that's a huge market for them. So we're a country of hot hatch buyers, and we're thinking that, if we can get that pricing right on the car and get the 202 kilowatt version here, that might do the trick. But Yeah, I've had a quick drive of it. Yeah, it's pretty well balanced. It's a fantastic car. Probably not the quickest in a straight line. Like a, something like a Honda Civic might be a bit faster, but in overall balance terms, it's right there. It's really good.
And if you decide against the hot hatch or the budget won't run to it, I must say the what was the entry level model, the Active, I absolutely loved it. It's just a beautiful car. It's really
good. Sweet car, isn't it? Yeah, and then you can go for the turbo engine if you like with the SR, or you can opt for a diesel. And we're going to keep the diesel there, even though diesel's reputation perhaps is a little bit less than what it was.
That's a subtle dig if ever I've heard one.
Well, I didn't say any. He didn't mention any words there.
No, of course not. I'm stirring you up.
Companies that might rhyme with Gulkswagen. I mean, we want to keep that diesel in there, and we find that the diesel is very, very successful in country areas where diesel cars and a greater range and better economy are well valued. So, yes, we don't sell a huge number of diesels in I-30, but we want to keep it there just so people have got the choice.
Yeah. Well, look, all I can say is from everyone here at Behind the Wheel to everyone there at Hyundai, bloody great job. Well-deserved winner of 2017's Car of the Year, the i30. Rush out if you are into looking for a small car. It's the new benchmark. So. It's the best value that you'll find. And, I don't think there was a car or anyone that works for Behind the Wheel that had a bad word to say about it. Oh, no, there was only one thing.
What was that?
It was the floating screen. Someone said, oh, they're doing the floating screen like everybody. But really, that was the best they could come up with, Bill.
Well, that's not bad.
Well, we'll get an end car to you as soon as we've got one here, and we can have a chat about that one at some
point. Okay, fantastic. Excellent. Bill, congratulations. Thanks for your time. Look forward to seeing you again next year.
Thanks very much.
The ideal family vehicle has 7 seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180kW engine, 8-speed transmission and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With 7 seats, great off-road ability and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone's raving about or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio, now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments, give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
Welcome to Behind the Wheel. This week, we're going to take a look back at some of our favourite segments from 2017.
Hasn't it been a fantastic year? And it's a good time of year to be able to just settle back, relax and think about what's happened in the past and what we're looking forward to in future.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel. Where motoring starts.
Well, there it is. Car of the Year 2017, the Hyundai i30. How long ago were you kind of onto it, do you think? Was there a...
As soon as we drove it, I reckon.
You reckon?
Oh, I just thought it was a terrific car. And I think I can't quite recall which model of the range I started with.
It was the SR that we started with.
I think it was the SR.
150kW
which
turbo,
I thought,
1.6.
This is sensational. But then I went into the entry-level model, or what then was the entry-level model, and I thought, this is unbelievable. This is so good. It has a bigger engine than the 1.6 litres further up the food chain.
Yep.
And naturally aspirated, and it was a delight to live with. And I thought, oh gosh, this has got to be on the list. It really has.
Really was. Mm. Well, Joel Helms, of course, the man who sort of steers the Behind the Wheel ship around the all sorts of obstacles and all of this. I don't know what I'm talking
and
about.
And the Cape of Good Hope.
Hello, there he is. How are you, Joel?
Hello, guys. Good, good. I'm. Why am I thinking about that captain from the Concordia? You know, the
don't say
well,
that.
In fact, that's kind of what you know. You can imagine, Joel. You know, he a few gin and tonics in, sort of late at night, a couple of girls on his arm, come and have a look at my deck.
Hey. As I recall, he was one of the first of the departures from the actual vessel. So
he was too, wasn't he?
So I don't think that goes for Joel at all. Good to talk to you, Captain. Now tell us, what are your thoughts on the Car of the Year quest this year?
Well, I think it's a very easy one. I mean, if you look back last year, you could probably say, and the year before that, for the same matter, you know, you're talking about cars that were all probably north of $45,000.
Yep.
This year, here's a car of the year for the people. It's basically where most people spend their money, around that $20,000 and up mark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to very easy to justify that, you know, this is a car that's going to be a good one for a lot of people. So yeah, I don't think anybody can criticise us for the pricing. It's not that expensive. It's easily obtainable, and it's just a good little all-rounder, isn't it?
And it comes with a great list of active safety features, and you know, it's not as if you're missing out on the things you need by going in at the $20,000 mark.
Yeah, probably the only thing just in that lower spec model that you're going to miss out on is the autonomous emergency braking. But you know, most models in the range have that,
yep.
And of course, you know, you've got the five-star NCAP safety rating across the range as well. So that's probably the only thing that took just that. If you really wanted to criticise the Hyundai i30, you might say, look, make the autonomous emergency braking standard across the range.
Yes.
But, boy, you couldn't really find much else to sort of, you know, take the shine off it.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly after Bill just revealed to us the all-new model of the Hyundai i30, the i30 Go, that's going to be priced at just on $19,990. I think, you know, we regularly see it at the top of the sales charts in this country. It's always in the top three. I think it's going to spend more time at number one when you kind of lower the price even further, Joel.
That pricing is exceptional, isn't it? And that's one thing that when you are selling cars in large volumes, you can generally bring the prices down, bring the available specs and options and things in, because it's a lot easier because you're making more money. So I think that, you know, it's good for car buyers as well.
Yeah, indeed. And it was kind of pretty much a unanimous decision across the board, from Alan Zervis to Peter Barnwell to Simon Lyde to myself and Pete. I think it was pretty much a nomination for all of us.
Yeah, and it was certainly a vehicle that I remembered when I drove it back at the launch, thinking to myself, wow, this is you know, a couple of steps ahead than what you might expect for this kind of money. Now,
yes.
I know the Golf is a very, very good car, and obviously it's, you know, one of its biggest rivals, and wasn't that far off getting, you know, it could certainly, you could justify giving the trophy to the Golf for sure, but the i30, as I said, it's just very hard to find anything about it that doesn't work.
Absolutely, and I love the fact that it's clearly European inspired, and there's a lot of you know, there's a lot that you get from the really top level, even luxury makers in Europe, somehow or other finds its way into this car. Don't know how.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So it's a fantastic value for money, and it's the kind of car where even if you've only got a budget of, you know, maximum of $22,000, you can get that and feel good about yourself.
Mm.
You know, it's not a car that you're going to be ashamed to own and drive, and you're backed up by things like the 5-year warranty and the cap price servicing and all that. And of course, there's plenty of Hyundai dealerships nowadays, so not only is it a smart decision, but you know, you'd say it's a decision that ticks all the boxes from an emotional perspective as well. Plenty of customization and color options and wheel options and things like that. So, yeah, again, just I don't know how you find a weakness in it.
Yeah, no, very good point. And I suppose the other thing to kind of consider too for 2017, and we kind of have been saying it, that it has been a difficult decision because there have been so many great cars, and I think there are quite a few that deserve that special mention. Top of the list, I think, would have to be the Volkswagen Golf 7.5.
Yep,
just still a beautiful car.
Oh,
but
yes.
Look, you know, I think one of the real kind of gobsmacking cars of the year came from Kia, and the Stinger and the large all-wheel, rear-wheel drive, you know, twin-turbo V6, a car that genuinely is a contender for the outgoing Commodore that, you know, starts at $42,000.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's I hate the term, but it is a game changer for Kia because, yeah. I mean, I've lusted over a Sorento for a long time. I love the Sorento.
Oh, yes, me too.
Beautiful car, yeah.
Oh, me too. I think they're fantastic.
Exactly, but there's not that many cars in the range over the years that people have really, you know, they've really, really wanted, but I see people with the Stinger thinking to themselves, I could imagine that in my driveway.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. Any other cars along the way, Joel, that you thought, actually, I would really want to have this on my list for car of the year?
As I said, I think the Golf was certainly in and around. I think it's an excellent car. I think the new Series 2 Mazda CX-5 is right up there as well. I mean, if you buy either of those two vehicles, aside from the Hyundai, you're not going to go wrong. Again, really impressed by the Mini Countryman. I know, you know, as you said, there's been plenty of votes for the Stinger, so I think the Stinger's right up there. A car that didn't get a mention, but from that Kia stable, that I think is, that really made a few leaps ahead this year as well, the Kia Picanto.
Picanto.
I think it's a terrific little car.
Yeah.
Things like the Mazda MX-5, especially the RF version, the hardtop, I think that's a really good little car. And, of course, another vehicle, too, that's been somewhat, overlooked a little bit by us, the Honda CR-V, which our judges,
good
Rob
car.
Fraser and Alan, they really liked that car as well.
So did I, actually, and I like Honda option, not an option, it's a standard feature where you put on the left-hand indicator and you get to see what's going on in the blind spot and whether there's a bicycle coming up where you can't see it.
Yeah, left-hand side, exactly right.
Yeah, no, it's great technology, and I'm surprised we haven't seen that in more vehicles. It just seems like such common sense,
doesn't it?
And you wouldn't think it'd cost that much to implement that.
Oh. Great logic. So for all the motoring enthusiasts that might be listening to us at the moment who are yawning as we talk about Hyundai i30s and people movers, performance car or kind of money now object car of 2017, any choices there?
Oh, boy, put me on the spot.
Yeah, I know, put you on the spot. But that's, how we get the best out of you, Joe, you see?
I really, as we spoke about it last week, the BMW M140i is very hard to beat.
Yes.
60 grand,
yep.
Great big six-cylinder engine, rear-wheel drive, that's probably where I'd be going. But things like the new Golf GTI, that was excellent. Always a big fan of the Peugeot 308 GTI. I know you guys are.
It's a great little car, yeah, absolutely, yep.
Yep, and boy, there's plenty of choice, isn't there?
Yeah,
it really comes down to personal taste, but I think I'd have a spot in the garage for the Beamer.
And we haven't really mentioned SUVs very much in our list. Anything like the Velar, the Range Rover Velar, which was beautiful, or the Q5 from Audi?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to drive the Velar yet. I got along to a pre-arrival sort of event. We didn't get to drive it at the time, but I got to sit in it. And, yeah, again, like you guys said last week, really impressed by that full digital dash and all those controls and all that. But did you guys find it just a little bit snug inside? That was my thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was, for me, it was absolutely the perfect size. It wasn't too big. It wasn't sort of gargantuan like
the Discovery.
The Discovery, but yet it wasn't too small like, I suppose, the Evoque, which is why it sort of sits in the middle. But no, I really kind of like the size, and I particularly like the rear leg room and then sort of extended cargo space in the back. It was kind of, I thought, right on the money, but yet small enough to kind of be manoeuvrable and kind of nippy around town.
Yeah, I'll have to have a drive and see if it changes my opinion. But that was just the thought that comes to me when people say the Velar. It just felt just that little bit cramped. But I think the standout SUV for me this year was the updated Sorento.
Yeah, okay. Lovely car, it really was.
Oh,
I must say,
good.
I was very impressed with the Mazda CX-5, although I did go on an expedition a couple of weeks ago with a friend who needed to buy an SUV, so we just went to the car yards, and we went up and down the car yards and pretty much drove every mid-size SUV, and look, she ended up going with the Volkswagen Tiguan, got straight out of the CX-5, into the Tiguan, took it for a drive, and kind of went, this is just a smidge above. So, again, it's probably personal choice, but there are two clear, I suppose, standouts there in that small SUV segment.
I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day about cars and about brands, and I likened it a little bit to polo shirts. You know, there are there's cheap polo shirts that you can buy in all different colours, and then there's, of course, the designer ones. And a lot of the time, somebody will only buy a particular polo shirt from one clothing manufacturer and not another, and they all do the same thing, essentially.
Yes.
It's just whichever suits your budget and whichever suits your taste in the end. And as you go up and spend more money, I guess taste comes into it a little bit more. But, nothing wrong with the Volkswagen. That was a good buy.
Indeed. Well, great analogy there and a great way to finish for 2017. Thank you, Joel, for your input. Thanks for all the help with Car of the Year. I think deserved winners there in Hyundai and the brand-new i30. And we'll look forward to chatting to you in 2018. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, guys. Job well done.
The heat is on, and that means you need to do all you can to keep cool. Window tint is what you need on your car windows, and there is a way to do it yourself. With Altrex window tint, you can achieve professional results for a fraction of the price of commercial tinting. It's easy to apply and available in two lengths and four shades. Altrex window tint blocks harmful UV rays, reduces road glare, and keeps your interior cooler while also adding privacy. And it comes with a 5-year guarantee. Altrex window tint is available from local auto accessory retailers and in the online store at altrex.com.au.
Havel have just released a new family 7-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV boasting a 180kW turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone's raving about or havel.com.au.
Behind the wheel.
Behind the wheel, where motoring starts.
Yeah, behind the wheel, it's kind of where everything motoring happens. And, you know, we get to talk to industry experts, but we also kind of like to look a little left of centre. Sometimes we like to talk about new technology.
Yes, we've spoken to all sorts of people about all sorts of things this year. Here's some of the stuff you might have missed.
She's the gal who, just puts out a brilliant magazine, Time In, Time Out Money Magazine. It's one of my favourite reads. And the editor of Money Magazine, it's Effie Zahos. Welcome to Behind the Wheel. Effie, how are you going?
Very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks for joining us, especially about a topic that is a vexed issue for many people. Many people in the big cities get so sick of the toll roads charging them exorbitant fees, or fees that they consider exorbitant.
And look, they are definitely exorbitant. So we're working with the Financial and Consumer Rights Council, and they've been looking at this for a long, long time, and they've been calling for a fair and, more important, an effective toll enforcement system. So the idea for me came about because my own tag was not working. So I was receiving 4 letters per day. So I had an e-tag, but it just wasn't registering. And me being so busy, never got around to fixing it. And I just kept getting these toll notices. And the administration charge on it was absolutely crazy. So then we thought, let's have a look into this area and just see what are they actually charging people. I was mortified to find out that, you know, you can pay a toll of, say, just $2, $2.07. You know, that's the smallest we saw on the Westlink M7. Depends when you get on and get off. If you don't have a tag and the administration charge on that, it can be a 500% markup.
Wow. It's ridiculous, and it's completely unregulated. They're kind of a law unto themselves, aren't they?
Spot on. And the poor guys in Victoria, spare a thought for them. What happens there is that can be a criminal offence if you don't pay it and you actually chase it up. I think they issued in Victoria about 1.2 million unpaid fines to the Victorian police. They then have to chase it up, and it can be like a criminal conviction, which is just crazy. And you hit the nail on the head. Nobody's really checking to see, are these fees fair? Can they justify it, or is it just a rule? There are 16 tolls in Australia, and they're in New South Wales, Queensland, and Victoria. 13 of those 16 are owned or partly owned by Transurban. Now, this toll giant is seeing record profits. Last year, I think it was $1.9 billion. We worked out around 10% of their revenue comes just from fees, administration fees. And, spare of thought again for Victoria, what happens is that you've got about 3 days to pay it before, in most cases, you get 3 days. So let's say you go through a toll, you didn't have a tag, it buzzed, you didn't realise, you get 3 days. You probably won't know until your letter comes. By that stage, they'll whack on $12.14 in Victoria for each toll, for each one, not just one group one.
Yep.
And then another one, if you miss that, of $11.84. So you're already up to past 20. And then when the penalty notice comes, $155 for each day of travel.
Correct. And as you mentioned, here in Victoria, it's not a civil matter, it's a criminal matter, or potentially so.
Correct. And let's throw in here also that, you know, maybe it's fine for me, you know, I've got a job, I'll pay this and so on. But if you are in financial hardship, there are people here that can't pay the electricity bill, the utility bill. At least in cases like that, you go onto their website and there's a financial hardship kind of process, a method to help people. They're not just going to simply whack off the electricity and throw you in jail because you haven't paid your bill.
Yeah.
Whereby you try and find on some of these websites, the toll operators, they're not all the same, but depends on who it's through. It's really hard to find a phone number, let alone anything else, of where, you know, who you can talk to say, hey, I can't afford this, or I didn't realise my tag's not working, or I haven't been home, I've been in hospital, and I've come home to a pile of letters that say I owe $1,000. That's really hard, and that's what I guess we would like to see changed. The enforcement method that these people have needs to be cleaned up.
Effie, there's another issue that I've heard floated, and that is the idea of toll road operators refunding money to motorists who've been delayed unnecessarily on the toll road by works carried out by the toll operators themselves.
Yeah,
not because of the inevitable traffic jams, when actually the operator themselves have caused the problem.
I think that is a brilliant idea. If you pay for something, put it this way, you go out to dinner and you pay for a main and an entree. If you don't get the entree, you shouldn't have to pay for it.
Exactly.
If I'm paying to get from one side of the tunnel to the other, but I can't, or for whatever reason it's been disrupted, you know, then that should be given for free. I mean, I can tell you this now, when my Wi-Fi goes down at home, I only need to call them, and I've done this, and say, look, I lost 3 days of Wi-Fi at home. I should have 3 days off my bill pro rata. We're talking sense, but hey, it's customer service and they do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Agreed.
How do we get it fixed, Effie? What do we need to do, do you think?
Oh, how do we get it fixed? I'm good, but not that good. I guess the first thing, if you are in a situation when you've got these ridiculous bills and it's causing you stress, definitely call the toll operator immediately. Try and document everything you've got down. Having said that, if you're unsuccessful there is a tolling customer ombudsman. Get onto that website. So that's just tollingombudsman.com.au. And also, there is a national debt hotline that's only recently been launched. It's 1-800-007-007. A government initiative. You can call these people and they are actually there to help you and listen. So at least you know if you ring that number, someone will pick it up. And of course, the mob we worked with the Financial and Consumer Rights Council in Victoria, they're dealing with people in this situation all the time.
Look, some really sound advice there. Thanks heaps for your time. Everyone rush out to your local newsagent. Pick up a copy of Money Magazine. It's a brilliant read, of course, because it's put together by the wonderful Effie Zahos. Thanks, Effie.
Thank you. My other tip is borrow a friend's tag.
Thanks, Effie.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Well, of course, electric cars, autonomous vehicles, and Elon Musk, the super evil billionaire who is trying to take over the world.
Where did you get this idea that he's super evil? That's
well,
what I'd like
don't
to know.
No, he's just got a finger in every single pie. Doesn't matter whether he's kind of building tunnels under New York or LA or sending rockets to space.
Just a man of boundless energy. And
this is like this world domination
vision.
Thing going on
oh,
there that I'm
Chris,
not 100% sure
I'm
about.
I'm not sure. I wonder whether your views were once held by our next guest. I wonder if Gary Linnell from The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald thinks the same way.
G'day, fellas. Thank you very much for having me. And yes, it's true. I did once consider Elon Musk a threat to humanity. I think he's probably had too much money to spend, and he's now looking at ways to get rid of it. And I think sometimes we see these multi-billionaires and zillionaires develop an overnight social conscience where they think that they've got to set about fixing the rights in the world and making it a better place for us. So I sneered at Elon Musk and others like him for years, and particularly when he was talking about self-driving cars. I thought, why would you want to take away the independence that millions of people enjoy all around the world? And when you have a look at and think about how the car has sort of transformed life in the Western world in particular, I mean, there are just things we take for granted now that we would not be able to do were it not for the automobile. You wouldn't have suburbs for a start.
No, exactly.
You'd have ghettos around the city,
yes.
A lot like the 19th century was.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's transformed it, and I've always loved driving. I've loved that feeling that you have. It's very hard to describe, isn't it? That big machine. That
oh, yes.
Sort of beast.
It's a rite of passage.
And I've been through all of that in my life.
Mm.
And I've always sneered at this idea that we'll one day be living in a Jetsons world with self-driving cars.
Mm.
It's only in the last 6 months where I've moved out of the city and I'm travelling up to 1,200 kilometres a week.
Wow.
And
yep.
So I'm spending a lot more time on the road.
Yes.
And it's just opened my eyes at just how bad we are at driving. Fundamental issues. So 10 years ago in this country, it used to be okay. I mean, it was part of driving and manners on the road that you acknowledged another driver if they let you in.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
Very simple, basic thing. These days, it's a surprise when someone toots their horn or waves at you and thanks you for doing that.
Mm.
It's become so competitive. And I'm doing a lot of driving around Sydney's roads. I think Sydney's drivers are the worst in the country by a long mile because they're feral.
Well, I don't think Melbourne's too far behind you, to be perfectly honest, because they're not much better down in the Victorian capital either.
Well, it's funny, I'm from Melbourne originally, and I grew up in Melbourne. I left when I was 40. And I always remembered Melbourne's roads, like Melbourne culture, being a lot more civil and gentrified than it is in any other part of the country. Yeah. But I've been back to Melbourne many times, and you guys, it's just like everywhere else in the country.
I'm afraid you're right, you know. And that glorious freedom and rite of passage lasts until you get stuck in another damn traffic jam on a supposed freeway or maybe a toll road that you've paid money for so that you get across the other side of the harbour. But what you do is you sit there and you wait and you wait. It's infuriating.
Well, I think I could do so much more with my time. I'm on the road 2.5-3 hours a day. I could spend those 2 or 3 hours reading, listening to music, listening to podcasts, thinking about things that I should be doing, getting things organized, rather than sitting on bitumen and getting aggressive and angry and frustrated and more impatient. And we should be doing more things with our lives than just sitting in traffic these days. And
correct.
The future is congestion.
Yep.
And if you have a look at Musk and what he's doing with self-automated cars and others are doing with it now, they're going to take away a lot of the congestion on their roads because they'll be able to time visit journeys on computers. They'll be able to time the lights. I mean, traffic lights will become a thing of the past. These roads will become systems. And there was a report released late last week in the US by a US think tank, and it estimates that by the year 2030, and it's only a dozen years away, only 12 years away, that by 2030, 95% of the trips undertaken by passengers in the US will be in self-driving cars owned by large fleet companies. Because we won't even, our children's children won't know what it's like to have to sit for your license.
It's funny,
they won't
isn't it?
Know what it's like to own their own car.
No.
So do you think the fact that they won't own it, they won't really have the experience of driving, means they won't miss it? It's just us old dinosaurs that'll be reminiscing about the old days?
In 50 years' time or 100 years' time, I think people are going to look back on it and go, they're going to look at us like we look upon people from the medieval ages, first of all, having a horse and a car. They're going to go, what? You travelled like that? You've got to be joking. And you've now got some companies, promoting this idea that they'll have a flying car. Well, let's hold it. Don't hold our breath and wait and see if that happens or not.
That won't happen,
but
I think...
I did issue an apology to Elon Musk because I've been laughing and sneering at him for years. I think he's on the right track.
I agree with you, Gary.
Bring it on, Elon, and I'm sorry about what I've said to you in the past.
I love it. You can read Gary Linnell regularly in the Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, on any of the Fairfax websites. And, of course, you can listen to him on Macquarie Media, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Talking Lifestyle. Gary Linnell, great to have your company, man.
Gents, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Motorists are taking more notice than ever about how their car ownership affects the environment. But did you know that simply keeping your car clean can also be environmentally damaging? If you want to do the right thing and keep potentially harmful chemicals out of the drains, then invest in the EcoCar car cleaning range from Altrex Auto Accessories. EcoCar are a range of effective and environmentally safe products that every Australian garage should have. And they contain environmentally friendly ingredients including natural coconut and aloe vera. You can purchase the EcoCar car cleaning range from the Altrex Auto Accessories online store at altrex.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
Hello, this is Peter Hitchener for Behind the Wheel and Chris Miller.
Yeah, and look, we're actually on a beach at the moment, sunning ourselves. We've got, well, it would be sexist to say buxom blondes.
Hey! Here's the deal, friends. We're on holidays. We're not actually at the same beach. And have a listen to what we got up to during the year. Cheers.
Everything's changing. The whole landscape's changing. The way
you buy a car these days is a little different. Like, you know, I suppose 10, 15 years ago, if you decided you needed a new car, well, you'd spend all day Saturday, normally until about, 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, because the car yards all used to shut, didn't they?
They did.
So you'd wander around and you'd gawk into a car yard, and the first question would be, are you going to buy something today?
Yes.
It's like, well, no, hold on a minute. I don't even know what I want to buy yet. Just give me this back off.
Oh, I think for many of us, buying a car can be incredibly stressful. It's one of those experiences in life. You're spending a lot of money, not as much as you will on a house, but it's another major investment in the future, and it's very stressful. So I'd like to find out kind of where the trend is these days. And we do have somebody lined up who's an expert on this.
She's also an expert on behindthewheel.com.au, because I think we're kind of headed in that internet direction. She loves our website, and she is from Search Optics, and she's the newly appointed Managing Director of Search Optics Australia and New Zealand, Jessica DeVries. Welcome to Behind the Wheel.
Thanks, Peter and Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, tell me, am I right about our impressions of buying a car, certainly in the past?
100%. It's a really known thing that it was a really emotional roller coaster buying a car, and you know, the days spent out on the yards, you know, the trust issues with salespeople. It was just a really long, arduous task buying a car, which, you know, thankfully has turned a big corner. We're really seeing that whole process refine itself and become a really nice experience for a user. So you know, even from when it comes to searching the vehicles, when it's, you know, at the Google stage, when they're actually on the third-party website, so you can really see a new user focus even on those websites as well. And then you jump onto the dealer's websites and they work and they function. It's a really exciting time, I think, in that landscape, and for users to be able to have a process where they can buy a car safely and smartly in their own comfort of their own home and what suits their own lifestyle. Before walking into the dealership.
Of course, there have been a couple of cars. For example, you can't buy a Tesla in a shop. You've got to buy that online. Tesla do have a shop where they'll demonstrate everything to you, but when it actually comes to purchasing it, you've got to do it online. And Subaru released the BRZ, their little Toyota 86 twin, and that was online sales only, and I think they sold out in a couple of hours.
I think it did.
I don't think we gave the public as much credit as they really deserve. Like, we're ready for this. And we're showing it in our, you know, how we're taking up these offers. So there's no doubt that the consumers are ready. It's making sure that the industry is ready to service it.
Fair enough. Now, Jessica, what do you think the buying experience would be like, say, I don't know, 10 years from now?
I love thinking about this, to be honest, but it's a bit scary as well. I think the ownership of vehicles is really going to change. We're starting to see that with, you know, jumping on apps and watching, you know, ownership change to subscription. I think what I find daunting about it is, you know, I love my car. It's such a personal thing. So the thought of that personal attachment changing is, I think, as a consumer, quite frightening. But I think we're ready for it, and we will start seeing that shift. I don't think people are all going to own cars in 10 years' time. I don't think we're going to go through that buying experience. I think we're going to experience a lot of vehicles.
Yes, so it's going to be, the car will almost, under this model, move almost towards public transport. So the way you jump on a tram or a train, could be similar to that, in that you have, you know, a shared usership of a car rather than owning it yourself.
I guess it'd be quite fluid in the way it moves from people, depending on what they use their car for. You know, if you're using your car for work and you've got all things in your vehicle, that might, you know, your ownership of a car might be still what resonates with you. But if you are somebody that jumps in your car maybe once a week or a fortnight, then you'll probably shift into a model of that kind of subscription model, I would assume.
Hey, Jessica DeVries, Managing Director of Search Optics. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, and good luck with the continued success of Search Optics. Things are really going great guns for you guys, aren't they?
They are. They're fantastic. It's exciting times.
Excellent. Good on you, Jess. Talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, so if you were anywhere kind of in Sydney this week, you may have seen clouds of tyre smoke from kind of over the hill there, where you look over to the Eastern Creek Raceway there.
And off it goes into the distance.
Toyota 86.
I think it's a Toyota 86. And I think the person behind the wheel is... Look, it's Joel Helms. Hey, Joel. The wheel.
Hello there, guys.
Hello, Joel.
There was no wheel spinning, and I was nowhere near Eastern Cross. Right. I don't know where you're getting your information. It might have been Simon, maybe.
Ah, Simon in the Commodore.
Oh, yes. Right. Yep. Okay. Simon is, and he's noted for that kind of driving, isn't he? Of course. Oh, Fast and Furious. That's
now, you've been in the updated 86. It's, look, not an awful lot different from the original car, but they've given it a few tweaks.
They have. And one of the good parts about the job is that you get to drive. Certain cars seem to come up every year, and Toyota always has a lot of 86 cars available on the press fleet. So yep. I've worked out I've had a Toyota 86 every year for 5 years.
And, oh, good. Not complaining, though.
Not complaining. What's good about that is it gives you an opportunity to see it grow and change. Mm. You get so familiar with it that when things are tweaked and changed, you really notice it. And if you'd asked me 12 months ago about the Toyota 86, I would have said, look, buy the base model manual.
Yep.
But I've got to say, I quite like the automatic version this time around. Even
sacrilege!
Though,
automatic? Oh, fell off my chair, sorry.
My preference would be the manual, but if you're one of those people who for whatever reason, won't consider a manual, then I wouldn't say don't buy it if you only want the automatic. I thought it was good enough, and with the stiffer body, I think that sort of helps finish off the package. Of course, you know, while you have choice in this section of the market, essentially you don't really, and the Toyota 86 is kind of the one that does everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Veloster, maybe you get a bit more room inside, but it's a little, not, you know, it's a little bit more dull to drive, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, the dynamics just aren't there, are they?
Yeah, exactly. The Mazda, of course, the MX-5, you get the chance to have open-top driving, which is great, but it's not as comfortable, and you get no back seat at all.
None at all. Nope.
No, nothing.
So the 86 is kind of the, and we should have a mention for the BRZ, of course, basically the same thing from Subaru. You know, it's the one that is the good compromise, and it does give you that sports car kind of feel. Without breaking the bank. So, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't buy one.
Well, I've got a friend who is in his late 70s, and he's just bought one.
Sensational.
He had a Nissan sports car for years and years and years and years, and then decided, no, I think I need to update, and he went for the manual version, and he can jump in and out of it quite happily, and he absolutely loves it. So it's a car that actually has an appeal across the age
broad
range
appeal,
as well.
Yeah, look, and it's not the easiest car. It is fairly low to the ground. Mm. So if your mobility, you know, isn't as great as it used to be, then you know you may struggle a little bit. But then, as compared to the MX-5, it's like getting into a Land Cruiser.
I think his wife was rather relieved that he didn't go for the MX-5, which was on the shopping list at one stage.
Exactly. Look, I think the Mazda MX-5 is a better car to drive. I think it's just a little bit smaller, a little bit more nimble. But, you know, the 86, in terms of value for money, smiles for your dollar, it is pretty hard to beat, isn't it? And it's safe, it's reliable, there's nothing to really not like about it. Probably the only thing that I'd say, although it's a bit of a mixed blessing, and that is that you get the old infotainment system, which has, I don't really like it from the perspective of the software is very dated and the buttons are quite small, but at least you get a volume knob.
Good, instead of one of those fool slidey things.
Exactly. And another update of the 86 in recent years has added some buttons for that stereo controls and that on the steering wheel, which always seemed a bit strange that they weren't there originally.
Yeah, you're right. It's got, I think, groovy new LED tail lights. It's got a bit of a fresher look to the face, but there's no dilution, is there, of that beautiful sort of back to old school stuff, rear wheel drive, lightweight, skinny little tyres, so it's quite happy to hang its mum out here and there. It's just the sort of car that you want to take to the shops. You look for an excuse to go driving in it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And there's so many cars like that in the world, but for even at top spec under $40,000, you know,
it's pretty good value.
To criticize it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hard to go wrong. Joel, great to talk to you. We'll catch up next week.
Thank you, guys.
Havel have just released a new family 7-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV boasting a 180kW turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone's raving about or havel.com.au.
The heat is on, and that means you need to do all you can to keep cool. Window tint is what you need on your car windows, and there is a way to do it yourself. With Altrex window tint, you can achieve professional results for a fraction of the price of commercial tinting. It's easy to apply and available in two lengths and four shades. Altrex window tint blocks harmful UV rays, reduces road glare, and keeps your interior cooler while also adding privacy. And it comes with a 5-year guarantee. Altrex window tint is available from local auto accessory retailers and in the online store at altrex.com.au.